Can you hear me, Jim?
Yep.
So are there any people on the line that are against supporting Vic's informational system? If so, would they please speak up?
Well, I think, Jim, if I may just interrupt here, I don't perceive it as my information. I perceive it as our information.
All right. Okay.
For whatever
I'll
reason, whatever reasons, I got thrust into this 11 years ago, and I took it upon myself, so I'm not here to shift burdens upon people, but I took on a project, and I have been living off of assets, sale of assets and savings and this and that and the other thing, and that's a reality of the situation, and so people are willing to help, and I want to add here too is after the
well,
call,
the indication is that most on the line seemingly are willing, and what they're going to try and do is Dana is going to see if she can get it set up on the website. One of the fellows made a suggestion that you can have a website where you have a graph on the website. You have what your target is and how much is flowing.
All right. Well, what can happen in the meantime, too, is as I receive, I can send it out on an email, you know, what's come in.
Yeah.
But I wanted to add here that, and you may agree with me after the end of the call, I don't perceive this thing going on a whole lot longer.
I don't either.
So I don't see this thing going on for dragging on for a year. In fact, I perceive it ending fairly quickly, and you may agree once you hear the content of this call. But in the meantime, just so we're clear, and you know, I'm down about $800. That's it. I have nothing left to sell. I have no income coming in. I'm not afraid of that. I've got lots of friends out there.
Right.
That's just the honest truth. I'm in that right now. Truck could use a new windshield.
If we weren't concerned, we wouldn't be on this call. So.
I appreciate that.
The quick question is PayPal an option? Because I can send some money right now.
I'm sorry?
Is PayPal an option?
No.
I'll just get to the post office in the morning then.
Yep. I'll give you the address and send it to you. I don't know if I didn't give it or not.
I didn't give it. I just mentioned Adam Flick.
Okay, well, there's a check or money order would be payable to Adam Flick, F-L-I-C-K. And the mailing address is 383-975A, Elgin, E-L-G-I-N, Street West. And that's in Cobourg, C-O-B-O-U-R-G, Ontario. And postal is K-9-A. 5J4. So again, 383-975A Elgin Street West, Cobourg, Ontario, K9A5J4.
Dana? Dana?
Here.
Would you be willing to accept emails from the various participants on this call that have agreed to support
absolutely the
Vic's venture?
Yes, indeed.
Our venture.
Thank you kindly. Okay, our venture. Vic's venture sounds much better.
I used to think that, but I don't think that way anymore.
Or I could call it Noah's Ark.
Unless I'm having a weak moment. Anyhow, well, I guess we'll get into the particulars of the call. And
I think you can get into them now, yeah. I think I've passed the information on to the participants, and most seem receptive.
All right, well, we'll let that be in a little
last line. The last count I had was 44 or something like that, it seems.
So we'll keep the lines open then, and we'll see what happens there, and I'll hang on as long as I
can. On the call right now.
Okay. So I'll hang on as long as I can here, but as I said a couple minutes ago, I don't perceive this thing going on a whole lot longer, and I think we've said that many times in the past, but I do believe that we're... what I'm about to share tonight is the solution. Now, what I want to say, too, in addition to that... is that nothing here is conclusionary, and I'm not going to tell you who or what to write to, because I haven't done that part yet.
Right.
So I'm just going to talk about the technicalities here and what I believe has to be done, that all of this will reverse 180 degrees. In other words, rather than paying for the fruits of our own production, we will receive use of that without the payment, the requirement to pay. Now, we went through some experiences last fall, Alex and Yakim and Dana and Doug and Bill and I, and as a result of those processes, we learned, or believe we learned, that as much as we were on the money with respect to being sons and heirs of God and having dominion over the earth, it is true, but those are not the words that the law needs to hear.
Okay.
And we've talked about words like, coming from the perspective that we want to be lovers and we want to give everything freely. And just to start off the conversation, I believe that word in law is settlor, S-E-T-T-L-O-R.
Can I just spell that again?
Settlor.
Oh, settler, you said.
Yeah, O-R, not E-R, O-R.
Yep.
Like, recognize or, and,
right.
Or at the end of the word.
Yep, if we can try to keep the feedback to me to a minimum, just so I can, because once I start going here, I don't like to be interrupted.
Well, let's go first. You can do it star 5 if you want, Vic, or I'll do it.
No, I mean, I don't mean feedback from noise. I just mean, once I start talking here, I'd like to keep going.
Oh, okay.
But
we should get everybody to mute the lines anyway.
Okay, hang on. I'll mute them. It's muted.
So the word settlor, grantor, and trustor are all synonymous. However, the word settlor seems to be the common usage, common choice of word in Canada. And so I believe, anyhow, that the word settlor is how we do what we do freely. And, of course, the word settlor relates to a trust. If there's a settlor, there's a trust. Now, having said that, I want to step back here for a moment and share what I think has been our major glitch in seeing the light. And quite often, and it just seems to be human nature, that we wake up in the morning and it's a cloudy day, we're not happy about that. Whereas we should be happy that the fact that we woke up. We come from the perspective that I don't consent to be recognized by this name. It's not my name, not this, not that. And always coming from generally a negative perspective or viewpoint. And that has caused us to take this long to get to where I believe this is going now. And so I'm suggesting that our human nature has been our prohibitor, and we're always, again, generally coming from this negative perspective. There's always, gee, I wish it was sunny out, rather than just being happy or alive and breathing and healthy and this and that and the other thing. And I think Alex and Kim and I, when we came out of jail, and Doug and Dana, I think we all kind of said the same thing. After 2 days in jail of a place with no sunshine and no fresh air, we were happy with sun and air, and that was good enough for us. So if you're actually happy with just the sun and the air and to be alive, then everything else and over and above that is just a bonus. It doesn't define your life. It doesn't make you who you are, and it doesn't really matter. It's just a letting go. So back to the Change of Name Act, where clearly it states in there that one is entitled to be recognized by the name appearing on the birth certificate. It's a third party granting that entitlement. And, of course, we've come from the perspective, well, if it's my name, how do you have the authority to entitle me to be recognized by it? It doesn't make any sense. Well, here's what does make sense. It's your parents, as it states in the Vital Statistics Act, are to give you a name. And your parents intended to give you a name long before the government received the statement of birth with respect to that registration of birth and what the name is. And the government took that statement of birth and they took it into trust. That is why they will not let you have it. Many people have demanded to get the possession of the statement of birth, the original, from the possession of the government, and they will not do that.
This conference is now being recorded.
So they're not going to let it go, and the fact that they have that statement of birth and that you're entitled to be recognized by the name on the birth certificate, which is just an extension of the statement of birth. It's like the birth of a child. The statement of birth, you could say, is the mother, and the birth certificate is the child. Mother is always responsible for the child,
However, if the child wants to resist that, then the child will bear the burdens and the responsibilities for his resistance. And this is why I say we always seem to come from, or generally from, these negative perspectives, and which is really putting up resistance. But the fact that you're entitled to be, that we are entitled to be recognized by that name, is kind of saying, yes, it's your name, but it does not belong to you. It belongs to the trust. It's the same thing as saying your human body is yours to do with as you choose, as you will. However, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And it was never the intention of God, I don't think, that we use his human body to serve our self-serving purposes. And it's just like the government says, it was never intended that a birth certificate is personal identification. So what they're basically saying, I believe, and what we're acting on now is that you are entitled to be recognized by the name as the settlor and the beneficiary. Now the facts, the only question becomes now is, for those things to be in existence, there has got to be a trust. And the fact that you're entitled to be recognized by a name, by a third party that's holding the statement of birth in trust, and they clearly, the government states clearly that we don't own it. The reason they don't own it is because it's in trust. Anything in trust is not owned, it's just in trust. So the government does not own it, we don't own it. In fact, nobody owns anything, everything is in trust, in God we trust or not. And so by accepting, rather than resisting, the offer or entitlement or permission, whatever you want to call it, to be recognized by the name, you decide, this is the time appointed by the Father, as you, me, each one of us, is our, is given free will, and we're responsible for our beingness and our life and everything that happens to us. The time appointed by the Father is you, is me, is each of us independently. I'm referring to Galatians 4 here. So the time appointed by the Father is me. The power is in me, as Christ said, the power, we all have the power here, we all have the authority here, but we keep coming from the position of weakness, and we keep coming from resistance. Now, the fact that you're entitled to be recognized by the name also signifies that technically, well actually legally, you are with the highest level of authority to order the name what to do. See, when someone's in court, never are they ordering a man or a woman to do anything. They are ordering a title, a name. That's what's being ordered. But because we believe we are the name, we believe that we are being ordered to do things. But it is not us being ordered. It is always names being ordered. Names are titles. So titles are being ordered around. And we've gone for the ride in the negative because we've come from the position that it's our name, and that stems from that it's my house, and that goes back to the ego, which I don't want to talk a whole lot about here. I move on beyond that. So a culmination of a resistance and wanting to serve, desire the human consciousness is basically to serve self and not do the love thing is basically what has caused us to get take this long to get to the point that all of this huge thing, this whole planet and everything in, on, and of it is in trust. Just like your body is given to you in trust. Now, we have the free will, how we use the body, how we use the tools. But the underlying truth is everything is a trust. And so if we want to get in harmony with the truth, then we have to recognize or should recognize that everything is a trust. And then when you're serving a trust, when you're serving God, you do it without consideration. You do it freely. And that's exactly what a settlor is. A settlor is one that says, okay, the property that is mine, I'm giving it freely into the trust. Now, you're going to have a little bit of a mind glitch here, maybe, but there's you and there's the name. You are not the name and the name is not you. Now, when you use, go out and purchase something, it's not actually you making the purchase, of course, it's the name. But it's your will being done there. It's you have decided, I want a car. So it is you going in to make the purchase, but you're purchasing the car in the name of the birth certificate. And at the end of the day, the car will be registered in the name on the birth certificate. And all that's telling you is that everything that's done in that name is trust property, including the name itself. Now, when we use trust property, and I'm talking about the name here on your birth certificate, when we use trust property for self-serving purposes, it's actually against the rules of a trust. That is not the intention. But in so doing that, that means we're using the birth certificate as personal identification, and the courts and the system will affix the title of trustee upon us to do that. because we're talking about a trust, and that's all there is. There is no money, so everything's in trust. And so when you're talking a trust, you're talking settlors, beneficiaries, trustees. Those are basically your three primary titles or situations. And so if we are not acting the role of the settlor beneficiary, then we must be, by default, the trustee. And, of course, the trustee is the one that's responsible to perform. Now, back to the name. When you're making a purchase with the name, it's not you making the purchase. It's actually the trust making the purchase because the name is of the trust. It's trust property. Therefore, everything done in that name becomes trust property, including your labor, including the fruits of all of our production. Everything we do in these legal names, which is everything because that's all they recognize in law, goes into that trust. So don't resist that, though. Accept it. And just express. Now, this is an implied trust at this point, meaning it has not been expressed. So how do you express this thing? Well, you express, I'm the grantor, I'm the beneficiary. Here's the facts. Birth certificate's not personal identification. I'm entitled to be recognized by the name on it. Clearly, it's not identifying me. It's identifying the name. It's identifying the trust. So by expressing your capacity to be that in that name, so I'm entitled to be recognized by this name as the settlor. Me is the one making the choice here. You see, I'm not the name and I'm not actually the settlor. The name is, but it's a title that I'm authorized to be recognized by. So in that sense, I'm the settlor, but it's really the name. But there has to be a human being filling the shoes. Names can't speak. It's like there's been court cases where people were saying, you know, these laws don't apply to natural persons, executors, and this and that and the other thing. The court says, well, I haven't ever seen an executor who's not a natural person. So it comes down to, at the end of the day here in law, is we're all persons, but what kind of person are we? And that's how that's how the system is going to recognize you. You don't have to accept that, but that's how you're going to be recognized. What kind of person are you? Are you serving self? Are you a settler? Are you a trustee? Are you a driver? Are you a tenant? And on and on and on. Now, in using that name on the birth certificate for personal reasons, purposes, which is not its intention, no more than God intended that we use his human body to serve ourselves, but in so doing that is exactly why you pay taxes, because you're using trust property for personal benefit rather than serving the trust. If you're serving the trust, trust pays, there would be no taxes. Not on you and I, anyhow. But the fact that we're using that name for personal purposes, we are using trust property for personal purposes, hence the tax. Just like God said, Jesus said, if you don't serve the Father, you shall bear the burdens. The Father, in this case, you could say, is the trust. So if we're not serving the trust, if you don't trust in God, then you're not serving the trust. And by default, then you're serving self. So as it stands right now, I don't know anyone that has actually expressed his capacity to be, with relation to the birth certificate and the name, to be settlor / beneficiary. Now, look at it this way. All of these names that were all issued are all of those names together, although they're separate, they are one, and they together constitute the trust. Everyone does what it does, what we do, and everything we do goes into that trust. Now, if we're all assumed the role of the settlor here, and the settlor, by the way, is the one in charge, the settlor is the one that sets the rules for the trust. All these laws, rules, and regulations out there right now that are being used against you are the laws of the trust in absence of the settlor coming forth and setting his own laws. So those are default laws to take care of the situation on the basis that people have not stepped forth under their own authority, under their appointing themselves as whatever you wish, in this case, settlor beneficiary. In absence of doing that, then those laws, rules, and regulations of the legislatures apply to your reality, plain and simple. So back to all of us have a birth certificate, all of us have a name. If we were all knew what was going on, we were all doing the love thing, we would all identify ourselves and be the settlor. We're all agreeing that everything we do goes into this big pool, and as the beneficiaries, we can pick out of that pool what we need when we need it for use, not ownership, for use. So you get beneficial use. On paper, though, the purchaser is the name, which is the trust, and the beneficiary is the name, which is of the trust. So nothing actually leaves the trust, regardless of what you think. It's all in trust. But you see, it's the name that's the purchaser. It's the name that's the beneficiary. It's the name that's the settler. But because you're entitled to be recognized by the name, you play that role. Plain and simple. So when I'm saying I'm the settler, what I'm saying is that Beck Victor Robert is the settler because I'm entitled to be recognized by that name. But I'm the guy that's, I'm the human being behind the equation here making this decision, making this choice. It's my will be done, your will be done. Remember that. And so with this whole collective thing, the truth is what appears to be going on, and I know it to be the case, and I'm coming from a knowing this perspective, because if I don't know, I have doubt. That's all I'm saying. I'm not bragging, but if we all were to accept that and say, okay, Canada's a big trust, everything we do, people, we're all get together here, we're one big happy family, everything we do goes into that big pot, and when one of us needs something, we dip into that pot. But you're only going to end up with beneficial use, never ownership. Now, here's the beauty. When you, as a settler, when you identify yourself as a settler, what you're saying is all property in this name, Beck Victor, is trust property. That now puts the legal title with the trust. And as we all know, that's the legal owner. And the legal owner, as we know or should know, is the one that pays. So it's foolhardy to say, I don't consent to be recognized by this name. It's foolhardy to do acceptance for value. It's foolhardy to say, this is not my name on this birth certificate, because all you're doing is slitting your throat. It's kind of like saying, this is not my body. I'm not responsible for what happens to it. Well, you are. You can believe otherwise, but we all is responsible for our reality and our health care, well-being, and our mental state, and blah, 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 blah. And so that, you know, our state of beingness within determines how we project ourselves out in the world marketplace and how we're recognized in law. And if we're coming from ego, then it's represented through the birth certificate as serving self. Therefore, we are not settlers. We are not beneficiaries. We are trustees. And that's why you're paying the tax. That's why you have a permit to use a car. You're permitted to use trust property. See, it's all in front of our face. You look at the permit for your car, it says permit. The fact that it says permit means that you're using property that doesn't belong to you, but it doesn't belong to the government either. It belongs to the trust. It's all trust property. It's all into that big collective pot, that big pot that we all put our production into. Your labor and everything, it's all into there. Everything we do is done in that legal name, bar none. It's inescapable. So coming from resistance is not the way. Identifying, and it doesn't put a solution on the table either. You're standing in front of a court saying, I don't consent to be recognized by that name. They're kind of sitting there, okay, now what? We got a glitch here. We have nowhere to go with this thing. It's not putting a solution on the table. The putting a solution on the table would be to say something like, I am here in relation to that matter. I'm the settlor. I'm the beneficiary. Now, I only use the court example of how we've kind of behaved in there and how we could do things differently. This process here, when you communicate, when I communicate with whom I believe I got to communicate to that I'm the settler slash beneficiary, I'll never be in court again. Because the only reason I'm in court right now is because I'm presumed to be using that birth certificate for personal identification, and that presumption will ride so long as there's nothing in evidence to say that there's an express trust here. See, an express trust overrides an implied trust. So the whole thing is a big trust, but it's all an implied because we haven't come forth and indicated our capacity in relation to this whole big picture. So when you put your on the table that you're the settler slash beneficiary, now you have put a solution on the table. If you're the settler beneficiary, then someone else must be the trustee. Who would that be? Well, that would be the party that entitled me to be recognized by the name. And that information's on the birth certificate. I'm not telling you who that is. I don't claim to know exactly who that is, and I can't because I haven't actually done it. But I do believe I know who to communicate with, and if it's not that party, I'm sure that they will get it to the proper place. I think the point is here is to express the trust, and I do that by expressing some basic facts. As you know, this birth certificate is not personal identification, is not and was never intended to be personal identification. As you know, Ontario has authorized me to be recognized by this name, so the name doesn't belong to me. It's not my name. It is my name to play the game, but the name does not belong to me any more than the car belongs to me because everything is in trust, right down to your human body. Now, your human body is not in trust with the government. It's in trust with God, and God is the source of everything. So when you're talking government, you're talking God, and you see how we fail God here because we're resisting government, we're resisting God. And there's no escaping these things, and that's what's led to our problems. So it's not just saying what you're not. That doesn't help. It's who are you then? What kind of person are you? Well, I'm the settler slash beneficiary. And don't resist things like person. It doesn't matter. It's what kind of person are you? Are you a person that's a trustee, or are you a person that's settler slash beneficiary? Has a whole 180-degree shift. Don't let the person thing bother you. Don't let how you sign bother you. It doesn't matter. I don't have any rights to reserve. I don't have any rights. I have the free will to choose, and that's it. These rights and freedoms things, that's all contract stuff, and it's all coming from fear, and we have nothing to fear. And if you're the king, what the heck do you have to fear? That you would protect your signature? I don't think any king in history has ever reserved his rights on his signature. He's the king. And so when we assume that position there, you have nothing to secure. But the ultimate solution, and from my view, and I'm sticking to it, is that we need to get express to the government once and for all, here's who I am in connection with this whole picture, and you will then never be treated, you'll never be in court again. You won't have to have a license. You won't have to apply for this stuff. It'll all be given by the trust. If the trust requires that the beneficiaries and settlers carry these documents to identify themselves to the officers out the street, then you just put it in your pocket and you carry it. It doesn't define you. It's just a show, and then they can plug the information into the system and says, leave the guy alone. And you look at what the police do, they're protecting trust property. That's their purpose. The whole thing is one big trust. And so it's incumbent upon us is to recognize our position here in this world, and we've all recognized, I think, that yeah, we're the source of production, we're the ones doing the work, and all that's true. And when you recognize there's a trust, then you just say, I'm the settler slash beneficiary. In this name, you got to make sure you connect it with the name. I'm entitled to be recognized by the name in this birth certificate as a settler, and I'm entitled to be recognized by the name as the beneficiary. And again, when you go to purchase a car, you'd have to show the identification. The birth certificate is one of them. So you show that. That's the purchaser. And when the car is ready to take delivery, the car will be registered in the same name off the birth certificate, and because you have the birth certificate, you have the right to take delivery of the car. So in that sense, you're the beneficiary. But on paper, we have nothing. We've given everything and received nothing on paper. But in reality, we have use of these things. But in law, we don't own any of it. And if you look at what the Queen did, that's exactly what she did. She granted or settled all of her estate into a trust. That's really what's going on there. And as soon as she does that, of course, now the government, she has administrators that administer that whole thing. She's put her property into trust, and any fruits that come from that go to her. But she has designated that to go to the people, which is that only the settlor can do that. The settlor is in charge. The settlor is the one that makes the laws, rules, and regulations with respect to the trust, whatever that is. Each has his own thing. And again, in absence of doing that, then the trust has its own laws, rules, and regulations to regulate the trustees, and that's the position we're in right now, is trustees, and that's why all these laws, rules, and regulations are affecting us, because it's actually speaking to trustees. Because again, you can believe that you own the house, you can believe you own the car, but the truth is, we don't own anything. So we're letting go of these false beliefs and accepting, we're one big happy family here, and I'm happy to give all of this property into trust. And on paper, it's your will being done, so it's done through that name. But on paper, you've received nothing in return. Remember, you're entitled to be recognized by the name of the trust, so it's the car still belongs to the trust, but you get to use it. That's all. So this to me fits perfectly with doing the love thing. You give all you have with no expectation of anything in return. And the fact is, even though you have use of the car, once you've established and expressed the trust, it's not your car, so you have received nothing. You have not received compensation. You haven't, the consideration for why you do what you do has not been that I can say I own this car. You know, people will say, well, you're driving the car. Yeah, so it doesn't mean it's my car, it's a company car. So what? Belongs to the company. Someone's got to drive it. So if you do some little bit of research on trusts and settlor and beneficiary and trustee and relate all of that to what's going on with the registration of birth process, when they registered you and I, they registered you and I basically as sovereigns. And that's basically what a settlor is a sovereign. The settlor makes the rules, not the trustee, the settlor. The trustee executes those orders, carries out what the settlor wants done for the benefit of the beneficiary. So as a settlor, you give the order to the trustee how to administer to the beneficiary, which is the same name on the birth certificate, which you happen to be holding, so you get to go for the ride. And again, in absence of doing that, the system is operating on the presumption that we're all serving self. And in so serving self, we have assumed the role of the trustee, because when you're dealing with a trust, there's trustees, there's beneficiaries, and there's settlors, basically. Now, I want to express, and I think a couple other people have written on this, as to why things are in trusts, is, see, there is no money. And when there is no money, then there can only be one thing, everything's in trust. I think Christian Walters or Waters, I don't remember his name, but explained it quite nicely, actually. It's just really just moving of titles. And it's like this. The government even acknowledges when you pay a fee for the birth certificate, it's an administrative fee. Title does not pass to the recipient. It's trust. It has trust written all over it. And again, that's exactly what the Queen has done. So when we were talking about this giver thing and surrendering to the estate, surrender is not the proper word. Identifying yourself as a settlor is saying the same thing, but it has a completely different meaning in law. Well, if you're the settlor, you're the boss. If you've surrendered, you've given up. So although they use the terminology where the Queen surrendered her estate to the Treasury, really what she did, it was her free will to do that, so she granted it. Or, again, grantor, settlor, trustor basically are synonymous. And however, in Canada, it seems that the word settlor is more popular, but they all basically mean the same thing. And just because you've heard what you hear in this call tonight doesn't mean you won't get a phone call to the effect, well, what makes you think you're the settlor? What makes you think you're the beneficiary? Well, I didn't say I'm the settlor. I said I'm entitled to be recognized as a settlor. I didn't say I'm the beneficiary. I said I'm entitled to be recognized as the beneficiary. So you got to have these things in place in your own self. If these kind of questions come back, it depends how the letter is formulated, what sort of information is put in the letter. And it may be, given that the government has clearly put on the table when we met Judy Hartman almost six years ago now, took this long for a big perspective shift, but in any case, she said, and she didn't have to say this, but she said, Vic, or to the three of us, a birth certificate is not, was never intended to be personal identification of. She wouldn't say that if it wasn't true, and if the government was out to screw us, she wouldn't say that either. So we kind of have to trust in the trust. So if when one is communicating here that he's a settler beneficiary, you don't have to get into, and if you don't do this, I'm going to take you to court stuff. Remember, it says in the Bible, go to your brother to settle it privately first. So that would be the first approach. You trust the trust, and you trust that when you put the proper information on the paper, it will be accepted. And you will, depending on what you've ordered or requested in your, as a settler, when you send this communication to the trustee, you could just ask the trustee, give me a phone call, I want to talk about this. Now, as a settler, you're in charge here. So you come from a loving perspective, and there's no need to, I don't think there's any need to draft up a 55-page document and put the history of the world on there and your own personal opinions and stuff like that. You stick to the facts here. That's all. Remember the show Car 54, Where Are You, I think, or no, that wasn't it, but with Joe Friday, he kept saying, just the facts, man, just the facts. I don't want to hear all the mumbo-jumbo. Just give me the basic bottom-line facts. And pretty much in Ontario, anyhow, and I understand, I'm pretty well. I'm aware that the Vital Statistics Act across the country, although they don't say the same thing, it is uniform. So it applies in one province. If it's not stated in another province, applies to that province as well, and vice versa. So it's uniform across the country. And it's almost like of 10 provinces, they each hold a key. When you put all 10 Vital Statistics Acts together, you can see the full picture. Because some of the acts have information that other ones don't, depending on the province. That's who we are in this picture now. At the same time, it's not to now take a bill. Remember now, this. Let me share this with you. I went to a bank on Tuesday to open up a bank account and just presented the identification, just did everything like they normally do, didn't say anything differently, just had the account established and all the paperwork and everything signed, and then I handed her an order And the order was basically to the effect that the province, well, the birth certificate indicates the guarantor slash trustee on this account. And so I'm issuing this order in the form of a promise to pay, but it wasn't really a promise to pay, to cover the charges to this account. In other words, the trustee, the trust is covering this account, and the trustee slash guarantor are identified on the birth certificate, and that's the party where that the bank knows or should know who that is. It's going to cover all the charges to the account, so, you know, checks, debits, whatever the case may be. And I gave that to the girl that opened up the account, and she didn't have a clue, or indicated she didn't have a clue what it meant, and I asked her to send it to legal, and she actually did that. And I got a call back today. And from her legal department saying they're going to close the account, they don't want to do business with me. Now, in hindsight, that may seem stupid, but in hindsight, the bank is not the trustee. Remember, I'm the settlor beneficiary, and I kind of indicated that on the letter without saying as much, but I think the bank perceived what was going on here, and they're saying, well, look, we're not the trustee. Your situation is with the government, and you need to get the trustee to do this for you. You can't the settlor doesn't open up the bank accounts. The beneficiary doesn't open up the bank accounts. The trustee does that stuff. That's the job of the trustee. If banking is required, the trustee does that. If it's pens and papers and office supplies required, the trustee does that. The settlor simply gives the orders. But the settlor, if the settlor is going in and establishing accounts, then he's appearing as a trustee because that's the job of the trustee. So you can see when you're going into a bank to open up a bank account, you're appearing as a trustee. So I think that, I can't say for sure, but I believe that the reason for the response from the bank was is saying, look, you're asking us to be a trustee here, or you're confusing things, Vic. We can see what you're saying here, but you're coming into the bank as a trustee, and we are not the trustee either. You got to go up the other ladder and have this account opened by the trustee. And I'm not focusing on bank accounts. Bruce and I went and did that, and I said, I just want to find out what happens here. I also went to the Ministry of Transportation to have a conversation with those people at Keelan 401 about when I applied for a birth certificate, I didn't know that it was a not personal identification. Well, we learned fairly quickly that went way over their heads. They didn't have a clue what we meant there, and so I've learned now from that, you know what? Communicating this information to the phone company, to the offenses office, to the bank, is not the place to communicate it. We don't have a trust relationship with them. You look on your birth certificate, it says Quebec, there's your trust. In Ontario, it says Ontario, there's your trust. And of course, the government, the respective governments, are the trustee. So I just wanted to share that bank thing because when I got home and Bruce let me know, and I called the lady at the bank and she called me back and told me all of this stuff. And I says, well, send me everything. They're closing the account. They'll send my money back. And I says, well, make sure you include that letter from the law firm or the legal aspect of the bank. But I believe that the reason they did that is because they are not the trustee. They serve open accounts for trustees, which is basically businesses and people who don't know who they are. So in that sense, the bank is the enemy, but I don't really want to use that language. That's not a positive thing. It's not that they're the enemy, I guess. I'm my own worst enemy. But when you start putting things in perspective, the settlor is the one that gives the orders to the trustee, and the trustee carries out those orders. So again, I'm saying this to put on you to do an acceptance for value and say I'm the settlor on a phone bill and saying or a hydro bill or tax bill and saying I'm the settlor beneficiary here, I'm going to say is not going to compute because that's not information that you communicate to those parties. Those parties just want to get paid in money. That's it. That's the extent of their responsibility or their duty, their purpose is to get paid in money. Whatever that is, doesn't matter, but they take checks, cash, credit card, that's good. Fine, that's the money then, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter, but that's what they deal in. They are not the trustee. Now, if you think of any trust situation, if you become aware of a trust has been established for you, for example, by your parents, you first go to whoever the trustee is and you introduce yourself. You do not communicate to the party that's sending a bill and say, contact my trustee. That's not his job. That's your job. So we've had everything way out of whack, and everything we're doing and doing those acceptance search for value and playing that game there makes us out to appear as the trustee. Because if we'd actually done the right thing here, then we would not be receiving those bills. Either that, or you'd have a checking account covered by the trust that would, you just write checks and pay the bill. With how things are normally done. And this, what I'm talking here is how things are normally done. Pay attention to a court. How are things normally done? Well, let's see. On the order, it says Province of Ontario. So the judge is representing Province of Ontario. He's not ordering the guy standing there. He's ordering the name. And they kind of dangled the order out there to see who's going to pick it up and pay it or perform on it. And that's always been us, because we have acted as if, well, basically, we didn't say we're the settlor slash beneficiary. In absence of that, you're treated as the trustee. And bad trustees go to jail. They're a risk to everyone else. So if you really start to pay attention to the what's going on out there, and don't try to reinvent any wheels, and see, pay attention, who does what out there? What does banks do? What does the court do? What does the judge do? What does the crown do? What do the girls do at the office? If you pay attention to all of this, you start to see, well, the word surety applies to court matters. The word guarantor applies to banking matters. So if you're going to say you're a surety on an instrument, that doesn't compete with banking, because that belongs, that's court language. But it means the same thing. Guarantor and surety is basically the same thing, but they don't use the word guarantor in court. They use the word surety. They use the word guarantee in banking. So you can see how we've really been confused, or confused ourselves, and then we confuse the whole situation out there, when this is about working with the what isness of it. And if you really start to take a close look at the what isness out there, then you'll see, well, look, that's not the place to go, and that's not the place to go. There's a trust here. I got to communicate with the trustee, and that trustee will take care of all of these things for me. It's not my job. It's not the duty of the settlor to open accounts, to settle up accounts. That's the purpose of the trustee doing that on behalf of the trust. So if you're settling or putting property into trust, it goes into the trust, and the trustee for the trust does all of that stuff. If you're using the birth certificate to serve self, then essentially you're the trustee, and the real trustee is not going to do that for you. That's why the government will write back to you and say, we're not responsible for your debts. Because they don't have anything registered in their system that says that you're the settlor. Nothing to say that what you're doing in the name of that birth certificate is going into trust. What they do have is it's going into your, you're building a treasurer's in your own backyard, in your own pocket, in your own bank account. So we've come at it from a completely wrong perspective, and again, that's why I started off with, which just seems to be human nature, and I catch myself often. No, yesterday was sunny and 20, and today was cloudy and rainy and 12. You know, Jesus, not such a nice day today. That's just, again, coming from that negative viewpoint, and if we have that in us sometime, we have it in us all the time, and generally that's how we're going to perceive things from that perspective. Instead of being happy, hey, I'm awake. I'm alive. I'm happy it's raining because the plants need the water. Look at the grass is growing better now, and coming from a more positive situation. And so that to me relates back to how we've treated this birth certificate. We've resisted it. We've refused it. We've looked at it as somehow we're getting screwed by being possession of it and all sorts of other stuff. But if you start to pay attention here, the fact that you're entitled by a third party to be recognized by that name, and everything you're doing in that name, you don't own it because you're only entitled to be recognized by it. It's not your name, in fact. And the birth certificate is not identifying you as the owner, but the name, which is of the trust. You can see here now that it's actually really good. To resist the birth certificate is like to resist that God gave you a human body. But how the heck can you do that? Because you didn't give it to yourself. It's true. So there's these underlying truths, these underlying principles. And when we start to see those, they permeate through everything. And Lee gave me an example today. When you go to a bank, you deposit money with the bank. That's your property is deposited with the bank. The bank is now the trustee. And if you want the bank to do something, you write a check which is ordering the bank to pay this money, my property, over to that guy. I'm just using the bank as an example here. So in that sense, you're the settlor, and that you put your property and trusted it with the bank. They hang on to it, and they use your money or whatever they do with it. They have a duty to pay you the interest on the money. They can't get something for nothing, so that's what they're paying interest for. You're entitled to that interest because it's your property that the income or interest is emanating from. So you can carry up the same thing to the bigger picture here with the government. And again, I'm not saying who or what in the government or not even which government, but just want to create a picture here for everyone and then do with it what you will until we, I'm hesitating here to say what I'm going to do because it may not be the right path. So I have to do what I have to do to find out the answer. Once I have the answer, then they can say, well, here it is. So again, as I said at the beginning of the call, this is more for information and to plant some seeds in your minds there and maybe cause a perspective shift, and certainly anyone is free to go and do what they wish to do at any time. But I can't tell you on this call and say right to that party there, because I don't know that's the case, just being honest. But I do believe it's, at the end of the day, I don't think it matters a whole lot. Exactly who you communicate. Government, in fact, if you look at your statutes, you should be able to figure it out very simply. Well, who's authorizing these statutes? Who's authorizing me to be recognized by the name? The king over in Africa? No. President of the United States? No. Somewhere here in Canada. Let's narrow it down. Let's get my computer out here and read that statute. Oh, that's an Ontario statute. Oh, I see. That's an Ontario legislature. Oh, okay. So you see, you can narrow it down yourself fairly quickly. And that, I'm not saying that we won't be sharing the finality of this, and that's why I was curious that people were willing to support this, because I truly do believe now that this we're hitting the nail on the head now. And so I don't foresee this thing dragging on very much longer. But in the meantime, it's just I'd like to keep the information flowing. But like I said, I'm down $800 here, and when that's gone, it's gone. There's the truck needs a new windshield. There's $225, and I said, well, that can wait. Got two serious cracks. But it can wait, because I know the good thing's coming, and that'll be taken care of. I'm not concerned about that. So by no means is anyone getting rich here, and I'm not suggesting anyone saying that, and I appreciate that lots of people out there would like to help, and they just are not in a position to help, and themselves are in a pickle, and I understand, I accept that. No one's asking anyone to what they can't do. But somehow, some way, we can always scrape it up if that's what's necessary. So that was really the two purposes of the call, is to, because I'd like to keep the information flowing, but I also have to deal with my economic reality here. And again, I'm not coming from fear, and I've got lots of friends out there. So, in fact, I've had this feeling in me for 3 or 4 years that it's when the money's gone that I'm really, really okay with not having any. I'm free of that now, that boom, the door opens. And I'm actually the closest I've ever been to that for a very long time. I think 1986 was the last time I was had no money in the bank and had $1,200 rent due, and it was a time to shit or get off the pot. So I got off the pot, and by the time the rent was due 2 weeks later, there was plenty of money in the bank. So I had to. Sometimes you got to go down the dumps to get motivated, and that's exactly what happened. And then never turned back. And we were, next thing you know, we got a $1 million business going, which is long gone. But so part of the reason for this call is to maybe motivate people to let's get the computer out here. Let's ponder on this. Let's think about this, and let's look at things from a non-resistive or a positive perspective, and start to see that everything is good. It's all perfect. No matter what we do, everything is in trust, and there's no escaping that, and there's no taking anything out of the trust. It's like trying to take your body out of this world and still be in this world. Can't be done. And I think I've said all I got to say. If any questions, maybe now is a good time to bring that on. You have to unmute.
It's okay, Vic. It's Dana here.
Hi, Dana.
How are you?
Me, I'm great.
Anyway, I followed this along and understood absolutely everything that you had to say. I think I'm pretty good with the understanding of it. So I'm probably, can I hang up, or do we have to wait till the call is over? Unless Kevin might have a question.
No, anyone can hang up whenever they so choose. No one's under any gun here at all, and that won't affect the call. So if you need to go or whatever, you want to go, by all means.
Yeah, love what you said.
Love you.
Oh, it makes perfect sense.
Well, it's in harmony with what the lawyer said, but a slightly different twist on it, that's all.
Yeah. No, I understood everything. It was, I woke up yesterday morning with a whole bunch of thoughts rushing through my brain, and I just typed real quick, you know, and I think I pretty much got my understanding covered, you know, but I still doesn't hurt to take a couple of days to ponder some of the insane, you know, just let it rest and then go back and look at it again.
Yeah, I'll be, I just kind of took today off. I drove home today and didn't do a whole lot of thinking, and I'll be back at it tomorrow, but I would say by the first of the week I'm heading back up to Wally's place, and so gonna put all things on paper and get it done, get it in the mail.
Okay, fabulous.
And then when I know what I know, then that'll be shared.
Yeah, and I understand that too, because I'm experiencing that with that I've spoken to here. You know, as I've told you before, they keep saying, "Well, how's it going? How's it going?" And I'll say, as soon as I know for sure, I'll let you know. But you know, every time you meet up with them, it's, "Well, how's it going?" And we're getting closer.
And well, you know, it's interesting too. When you guys met with that lawyer, that the only thing he didn't talk about was that one paragraph on that piece of paper I gave you guys that was talking about a possible trust.
Exactly. That's what I noticed. He didn't, and he almost steered right away from that.
He agreed with everything. He agreed with everything that we proposed there, but he didn't touch that aspect of it for some reason. I'm not saying it was intentional or not. Maybe it was. Maybe he knows something and he didn't want to go there, because at the end of the day, and let's bear this in mind, that in the Financial Administration Act, the government is under no obligation to disclose the existence of a trust.
Exactly. And I think even if he did know, I don't think he felt that there was anything that he could do, because I think he's a labor lawyer.
Yep.
I don't know if lawyers can just do whatever in any area.
Yep. So I'd like to move on, Dana, and take some questions from others now, and just move on with the question answer thing. And
good talking to you. We'll talk soon.
Yep. Take care, Dana. Love you.
I love you too. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Dana.
Bye, Dad.
Any questions, folks?
You can go ahead.
And Vic, I just got a comment.
Go ahead, Spaghetti.
What you just said tonight goes in line with Ange's letter. He's basically got a letter from the ORG basically saying that the rights in the name are not owned. So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If they're not owned, then they can only be one thing, in trust.
That's right.
You know, it's like I could have your TV over here, but I don't own it, right?
See, we were wondering what the hell that meant for years, and now it came out. So now it's... If anybody understands what that meant, then now you know.
Yep, and we've resisted that by saying, well, you own the name. They say we don't own it, but we write letters and say you do. The craziness when you start thinking about it.
We just ponder that.
I find it interesting, too, that almost every letter that Judy sends ends with the same thing, that the government is committed to service excellence in serving the people of Ontario. Like she's kind of telling us there in one paragraph, you may use it to serve yourself. However, the government is really striving to serve you. But it can't serve us if we don't serve the trust.
Right.
And that's why, like I say, Judy would say, we're not responsible for your debts, because they don't have anything in front of their face to suggest that we've agreed to settle these things into the trust.
Yes.
And so it's all operating on the presumption, as I say, that we're all doing it for self. And in fact, the world was created on by the ego, which is all self-serving. And you start to see out there, too, that, you know, man keeps trying to fix things, but he just makes it worse. He fixes one thing and creates 15 other problems. And just instead of just, you know what, God's all done everything perfectly, I just need to sit back and go for the ride. Whatever will be, will be. Thanks for your comments, sir. Ange.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank Ange. She's the one that's got the letter.
Yeah, there's a few of them. I've seen several of them, and they all end the same with that exact same paragraph at the ending there, and the other statements are pretty much the same as well. Depends on the questions asked, but she generally answers the same. Any other questions? Well, that's easy. So if there's no questions, I'm gathering that we're finished then. And we'll carry on and see what happens in the future, in the coming days.
And hello, Vic.
Yep.
Hi, this is Stephen, Connecticut.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm very well listening to you, and grateful I got on a little bit later than planned, but I just first want to let you know, I love you, man to man, brother to brother. I'm appreciating your pathfinding. My voice is a little crunchy right now. I've got some little bug I'm dealing with. So first of all, that from my heart to your heart, thank you for your pathfinding, for giving me a new way of looking at these words and this situation, and clearing up some of the fog in my own programming. And I'm deeply grateful around that. I'm in a situation similar to what you mentioned about being at that point where you don't have any of those things and just get to face the emptiness and with the doors opening from there. And the one thing I wanted to share is that in the other morning I was doing my meditation walk, and I kneeled over at one point and I saw all these beautiful little water drops on the grass. And what that meant to me at that moment is that grace is everywhere. Grace is everywhere, and I feel like that's it's exactly what you're saying. And trusting this grace, and so for things being taken away from me, it's been the, in a way, the delivery or the opening to trusting this grace. And now I'm hearing these words about the trust and the settler and the beneficiary, and I need to, with that spirit of grace, let the fog clear in my own thoughts and programming, really understand that I have been my own worst enemy, and that that by affirming this love for you and this passion to get this right, or to understand what's true and real, that that this will come quickly, and it feels like this community effort is essential in this process, and I'm grateful to be in touch with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your kind words, and I love you. It has been quite a journey, I think, for a lot of people, and just willing to let go. And, you know, myself, several years ago, went through all the debt collector and the debt phone calls and all of this stuff, and, you know, waking up sweating and blah, blah, yep. blah, 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 and eventually you just get over that and start to have fun with it.
Yeah.
But you realize, you know what, it's I'm alive, and that's good enough.
Right.
And just letting go of these things that are, you know, the baggage, the anchors, whatever we want to call them. And but it is amazing when we start paying attention to nature and just take a moment and be with it. Mm. The feelings that can come from it is incredible. And the love and the freedom and the feeling of freedom. And it's all right there in front of us if we just partake in it that way. You know, the grass doesn't care if it's warm or cold today. That seed's going to grow in the grass come hell or high water. And if there's a rock there, it'll go around it. Not going to go back underground saying it's too cold today or there's something in my way. It just does what it does, and no fear. It's the best place is nature, I find for myself anyhow, to clear myself of trash. I really appreciate the time out in it. That's why I'd like to live in the middle of it 24/7. And thanks very much for in Connecticut, eh? That's a long way away.
Just around the corner.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm hearing that you are preparing to write some letters, and when I look at my California birth certificate and start allowing the scales to come off of my eyes and just look at it freshly, then I am able to put it together with what I'm hearing in terms of those words. I realize for myself that I need some tangible ways of taking those, wearing those words. So I'm going to, it doesn't work for me just to write it down 10 times. I'm aware that I have to walk with it, you know, maybe walk on the green grass with my bare feet until those terms have a clear understanding and meaning. And so the idea of writing to somebody when I'm aware that I charge something, or when I put my signature and I feel all of these things in flux as I'm being reduced to the essential value, the real gold of love, and I guess be humble enough to be shown that I thought I knew things, and so now there I feel a humility to just be say, I don't understand this. I want to understand this. Please show me this. And that moment
but
on the
don't
ground.
You fucking understand?
Hello?
Some joker on the line.
Huh.
We get them from time to time.
Uh-huh.
That's okay.
I like jokers.
And there's a big difference for me between speaking heart to heart and feeling that resonance and that meeting like I do right now with
I
you.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Dick. It's Greg from Vancouver. I'm wondering if you ever, if you have written to the Vital Statistics Agency. I know you were talking about it before. If you did that, or if that's what you plan on doing, or.
Well, I sent a bunch of letters off about a week and a half ago, and to be honest with you, they were. If I was throwing the darts at the dartboard, they didn't hit the center. They hit just outside the center. But I can see where I failed, and I didn't indicate my capacity properly. I didn't put things in perspective in that sense. So,
yeah, the same thing
and those letters went to the Registrar General and Minister of Finance.
Provincially, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that the lawyer agreed is that it's definitely a provincial situation. See, the provinces by constitution are responsible for property, so that's kind of telling you right there who's holding things in trust. Yeah. And the provinces maintain their sovereignty independent of the Fed. The only thing that the Fed has is the money, so they kind of have a bit of a noose around the province's neck. You know, if you want some money, you got to do what we say. But at the end of the day, it's the provinces that are holding these properties in trust, and it's the provinces that hire the police and create the police forces to serve and protect. And they're really protecting the trust property. They're protecting us from each other, and then they're protecting assets.
So I'm curious, in your view, sometimes it boggles my mind, like, is each province a trust in itself, or is it Canada's one giant trust, or is it all of the above?
Well, I really can't answer that. How I kind of looked at it is, for years now, is that the father is the Fed, and the provinces are the mother. And because generally it's the father that goes to work, or from history anyhow, it's the father that goes to work and gets the money, and the Fed is responsible for money, and the provinces or the mothers are responsible for bearing children, which is, you know, property, chattels, cattle, whatever. And so I can't say for sure, but basically what the lawyer said, he says, and which is what Neo did, he says, go to the source.
Yeah.
And we're talking registration of birth and birth certificate here is the first thing we got, so that should give you a pretty good heads up who the source is. Now, I'm not saying that that's the party that's going to do things, but I think the key, the critical aspect here is to get your capacity on the table and just send it in there. You don't send it to some place where it wouldn't make sense to send it, but if it's not the registrar, then it's they should get it to the right place. In Ontario, the registrar has two capacities. He's the Minister of Finance and the registrar, so he's registering information in the computer in one sense and is a program within the computer in another sense. So it's kind of like a dual role there. And I'm not saying that that's the choice either, but there's nothing to stop anyone from presenting this to a lawyer and saying, here's the situation, here's what I think is going on, and check it out. I'm personally reluctant to do that. I just, for some reason, I just have glitches in talking to lawyers, but.
Yeah, I talked to a trust lawyer, it must have been 4 or 5 years ago, and, you know, and he, you know, he just wasn't interested in going, and he started going on about, oh, he has no problem with, you know, if his body is property of the Queen, and I just reacted to that so badly, but he might have been on to, he might have kind of been playing with me a bit there.
Well, he might have been also helping you out.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
You know, quite often I think there's when we get something, they're actually trying to help us out, but because we're coming from these negative perspectives, we don't see it that way.
Yeah.
I've taken my foot out of my mouth many times during my life, so. And again, after having done that awareness test that we shared there back in February, I think, and I don't know anyone that saw the muggy bear going through the crowd until it was pointed out that it was there, so that just showed to me right then and there that although my eyes see, they don't see everything, so who the heck am I to say I saw what I saw, or that I know anything, that I know everything. It caused me to reevaluate and realize, well, geez, if I didn't see that which was right in front of my face, what the heck else am I not seeing that's right in front of my face? But the interesting part, too, is that once we were advised that the muggy bear was there, then we could see it. So it's like when your seed is planted, then you can see these things. I remember years ago when I bought a Yukon truck, I thought I was the only one that had one. I thought it was a brand new vehicle, a new model and the whole bit. But then when I got it on the road, they were all over the place, and there was some of them were 3-4 years older than the one I had. So I'm thinking, holy smokes, I never saw those. But suddenly when I had one, everyone had one. They're all over the place. So there's more going on than we're aware of, and so that's why at the end of the day I had to admit to myself, you know what, I don't know anything. Or maybe better yet, I know everything, but I don't remember much.
But, and then at the same time, you're saying maybe we should really understand the capacities of settlers and beneficiaries completely in case there is a little skill testing question at some point?
Absolutely. You know, it just depends if you scribe your letter perfectly. It may be accepted perfectly, but it might be close enough that it causes them to make a phone call and says, well, what makes you think you have the right to do this or that or the other thing? And so you want to have the answers to that, right?
Yeah.
And as much information as we share from here, it doesn't mean that everyone's going to interpret it the same way and apply it the same way. So I feel that it's like Jesus said, I'm not your crutch. He says, I can show you the way and give you the information, but you got to get there of your own accord. And so I guess that's what I'm saying. It's if people are going to do this on their own, and I no doubt some point in time everyone's going to have to do it on their own. And we don't all think alike, and we don't all have the same information, so one has to be prepared, I believe, to answer these questions should they come.
Give me your fucking answer!
I think it depends on the first letter. If it's way out in left field, you probably won't even get a response. If it's close to the mark, that's when you may get the skill testing question. If it's right on the money, then they'll probably just do what you ask them to do. And I think
what don't you get about it?
I think it's important, though, to take the perspective that we have to trust the trust. If I don't trust the trust, then that right there puts up a barrier. We can't see it, but it's there.
The
law of attraction.
Want to know that, like they also want to know it is an express trust, that you're expressing it with the full intent and knowledge of what you're doing. Like you're not just throwing out darts again. You're actually, you know, this is really your will to express.
Yeah, in other words, you didn't read it. You're not doing this because you read it on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, so I believe, yeah, that it's incumbent upon each one to get the books out. It's a choice whether they do or not, but to understand a trust and the roles of the parties and the powers and that sort of stuff would be good to have that information from within, let alone that, look, we're each one of us is a king. And kings don't have to reserve their rights. Kings do one thing and one thing only. They issue orders. It's basically what they do. And when you think about it, when you write a check on a bank account...
You're unbelievable, man. You're unfucking believable.
It's an order. It's exactly what it is. Courts issue orders. You go make an application for a court, whether if it's a civil matter, you're seeking an order of the court. Criminal matters, this court orders that so-and-so goes to jail for 6 months. It's all based on orders. And the one that's doing the ordering is the one that's in charge, is the point. And I'm not saying that you have to order the government or the trustee what to do here, but you have to come from a position of, I have the authority to do this, and know why, starting internally.
Great. Well, thanks, Vic. That's sure helped out. And also just the part about every letter I write, I'm putting in stuff that's too much or it's getting a little, you screwed me a little bit, and it's like I got to keep pulling that out of there.
I think that's imperative. And again, I used the analogy before that, you know, people have been writing for years that, you know, equality under the law and all men are created equal. Well, if we start to see what's going on, that's, no man is ordering another man what to do. No judge is ordering another title what to do or man what to do. He's ordering the name. Names are ordering names, but it requires human beings behind the names to do those things. And so there's the equality. The equality is that we're not ordering a man to do anything. He's going for the right because he thinks it's him. But the law itself is it's right in the law. We're all equal, all right. But that inequality comes from our own self. Well, we think that they're ordering us to do stuff. No, they're not. They're ordering the name to do it. So it's okay to order names because it's words on pieces of paper, right? You're welcome.
Vic, it's Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Thank, thank you very much for all your wonderful input and for the outpouring of love that we received from all the participants tonight. That's fantastic.
Yep, and you, and thanks, Jim, for offering to do this and doing this. Much appreciated.
I understand we had 53 on the line tonight, so.
Cool. Probably about half as many as I was hoping, but that's okay.
I was hoping there'd be more, too, but.
Jim or Vic, this is John in North Carolina. Would you mind repeating the address again? I don't think you got it on the recording.
Okay, it's 383-975-A as an apple, Elgin Street, E-L-G-I-N Street, West, Coburg, C-O-B-O-U-R-G, Ontario, K9A-5J4.
And that's for Adam Blake, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure he got on the recording, because I think it started a little bit late. So, and again, thank you, Vic. Thank you very much. And Connecticut, you know, great outpouring of love there.
Good.
Very humbling. So thanks again, Jim, and Vic, and everyone.
Thank you. Love you all. Okay, so if there's no more questions, we'll call it a night then. If there are questions, I'm here. I'll take them.
Vic, I need to hear the spelling of the town again and the province.
Coburg is C-O-B-O-U-R-G, as in George, and Ontario is O-N-T-A-R-I-O.
Yep.
Canada, of course, if you're out of Canada, whatever Canada is.
And the do you need the code?
Oh, K9A, K9 Apple, 5 John 4.
5 John 4?
Yep.
Thank you.
And much appreciated. Any help that we receive here is much appreciated. Okay, well, if no more questions. Okay, well, then thanks very much for participating and being on the call, whoever's left, and well, everyone, and we'll see you on the internet.
Love you, man. Good night.
Likewise.